Jeremiah chapter 17. Tonight we'll read responsively on verses 5 through 10. So Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10. I'll read verse 5. Then would you please join me on verse 6 and every other verse through verse 10 tonight, Jeremiah 17. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings.
Thank you for the public reading of the Word of God tonight. It sounded so good in my ears. Tonight I want to bring a message that is simply entitled, I Want to Be Blessed, and So Do You. I want to be blessed, and so do you. For this first Sunday night message in 2026, I have chosen to go ahead and tell you this. I have chosen to go back 11 years in my preaching. And there's something I want to share with you from 11 years ago because I thought it, think it to be appropriate for tonight for all of us. And I want to share with you something that I know that all of us want during the new year. We all want God's sweet blessing, and I know I speak for all of us. We want to be blessed of the Lord. And Jeremiah is one of my very favorite books in all the Bible. I don't know what your favorite books are. I know sometimes people tell me, oh, I just love such and such, and I just love such and such. And one of my very favorite books is the book of Jeremiah. I loved when we taught through it and went through it chapter after chapter and all the wonderful things that were there. A great book in the Word of God. As a fiery preacher who suffered for his conviction-filled preaching, and what he would preach was this. He preached, thus saith the Lord. He didn't back down from anybody. He just preached, thus saith the Lord. And as my pastor in Minnesota said, like it, lump it, dump it, or bump it, that's what he did. And of course, he did just exactly that. In fact, his preaching, and I think this is an overlooked thing in Scripture, not by me and not by my church family, I'm sure, but his preaching was just like the preaching of John the Baptist, just like the preaching of Elijah, and just like the preaching of Jesus himself. That's unheard of today. Really? Jesus was a fiery preacher? Could be. And I know that from Scripture. If you have your Bible there and you want a proof text, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, notice what it says. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he says, what are people saying about me? And he wanted to know, because Jesus often had his reputation precede him wherever he went. And here was the answer. And they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist. Wow. What an incredible statement. Some, Elias, of course that was Elijah, and others, Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So Jesus had a reputation that was like the men of old. Amazing. John the Baptist, of course, was not a man of old, but the prophets were. Jeremiah, Elijah, and they thought that he preached just like them and probably had the same mannerisms as him because these men knew Jesus in their earlier days, of course. Now, they had not met the Messiah, but they knew of him because of what the Scripture said. And here, he warns the people of God of the dangers of compromise in order to be accepted. Very amazing passage. His words could be preached today and cover most of the situations in every Christian's life. It's just as up to date today as it ever has been. And many of us preachers have forsaken it because I guess we want to be people pleasers, and we want to not stir up the nest. We don't want to rock the boat, as the one song said many years ago. We don't want to mess things up. We don't want people to not like us, and I say us, including myself in that. But I think we preachers have gotten away from Jeremiah's preaching and what he said. Now, anytime, now this is me. If it's you, then good. I'm glad it's you too. But anytime I find the word blessed or blessed in the Bible, especially when it's connected with the word is or the word are, I pay special attention to it. Blessed are, blessed is. Why? Because he's saying somebody that is or does this is blessed. Well, pay attention to that. And the Bible says, you know, for example, God says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17, 7. You saw that. But he also said, and if you go down to verse 5, he said this, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So here we have Jeremiah saying, you'll be blessed if, and he's saying you get cursed if. Interesting. And you have those things in the same chapter, in the same passage of Scripture. And he gives us criteria for blessing and a criteria for being cursed. In other words, you can live a blessed life or a cursed life, and what I get from this is that the choice is yours. You say, but Pastor, I'm a Christian. You mean I can live a cursed life? Uh-huh. Because you're human. I don't mean cursed to go to hell. I don't mean that. I just mean you either have God's blessing or you have God's cursing. And there are many believers today that involve themselves in things that are such an abomination to God in heaven, and they see nothing wrong with it. You think God blesses that? No, God curses that is what God does. And so we have all of this here. Now, as in my own study of this, I find that the choice of blessing or cursing in your life is your personal choice. I can't make that choice for you, and you can't make it for me or anyone else. It's one that is squarely on you and no one else. For example, in the book of Psalms, the word blessed, or most folks don't read the word blessed, they read the word blessed. That's what they do. And it's not necessarily wrong to do that, but we read the word blessed in Psalms and take a look at only a few of them. Now, let me give you a challenge if you've got a concordance or something in the back of your Bible, or maybe you've got a Cruden's Concordance or a Strong's or a Young's in your personal library. Go through and trace the word blessed or blessed and find it throughout the Word of God. I'm going to give you a small, is the word spackling a good word to use for this? Just a small portion of the words blessed. Look what it says. And you can write them down or you can turn to them fairly quickly. Psalm 2 and verse 12. The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And of course, the one you all are thinking of is Psalm 1 and verse 1, where the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And by the way, did you recognize part of what was read tonight out of Psalm 1 about the tree that is planted by the rivers of water that stretches out its roots and gets its strength from the water that is there? And then, of course, there's Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Isn't that a blessing? And in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 33 and verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There's going to be a lot of preaching in July about this. America's 250th anniversary and all that. And many a preacher is going to stand in a pulpit and he's going to preach this very passage. And the one you're listening to tonight might do exactly the same thing, where it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people in whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Of course, the context there is Israel, obviously. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes down to us, he gives, blessed is the nation, or blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Not the God of pornography, not the God of lust, not the God of atheism, not the God of evolution and all the rest of it. No, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 34 and verse 8, and you know this one by heart. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. What a great blessing that is. And then, of course, there's Psalm 40 and verse 4, where it says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, that's something interesting. You know, the Bible says that there are some who trust in chariots and horses, but our trust is supposed to be in the Lord. And he says here, Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 41 and verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Psalm 65 and verse 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Who is the man that God chooses? It's not talking here about Calvinism. It's not talking about preselection or anything like that. It's like the Bible, 600 years after he died, called David a man after God's own heart. That phrase literally means, if I may just draw a picture for you, it literally means the man whom God chose. And God chose David to be king. And that's because he was God's choosing. And we find that here. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. And then there's Psalm 84. You know these verses. You've heard them. You might not remember where they are, but here they are. Psalm 84, verses 4 and 5. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. And then you go down to verse 12. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Then Psalm 89 and verse 15. The Bible says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Psalm 94 and verse 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. Wow, that doesn't sound right. Blessed are you if you're chastened? Yeah, if you're chastened of the Lord, it's because he loves you. And it's interesting. And the Bible says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. You see, chastening is to teach you, to correct you, to reprove you. Psalm 106 and verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doth righteousness at all times. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, that fears the Lord. Many years ago, I brought an entire series on the fear of the Lord. It's a good series. I fear that sometimes we forget what we've heard in the past. We learned that the word, in most of your Bibles, including the Scofield Reference Bible, it defines the fear of the Lord as a reverential trust. And I have to be honest and say, I still don't know what that is. A reverential trust? Is that different than trust? Is that what the fear of the Lord is? So I did a study on the fear of the Lord. The word fear that is used here is that of a person standing on a great edge of a great cliff, a great precipice with jagged rocks down below, literally means the shaking of the knees. That's an interesting thing, the fear of the Lord, shaking of the knees. So what does that mean after you boil all the fat off of it? It means someone who takes God seriously at his word. A place where we have failed, all of us, is Romans 6:23. Because Romans 6:22 is written to the saved, as is Romans 6:23. And Romans 6:22 talks about the fruit of a righteous individual is that of holiness. And then it says, for the wages of sin is death. Well, that's interesting. When you think about that, it's not talking about going to hell, though it does apply as far as an application goes. It's talking about a destroyed life. And to a Christian, making the wrong decision about sins in his life will eat away at him, one piece of him at a time. Literally, the wage of sin is a life destroyed. And that's for the child of God. And so, how many Christians believe, I wonder, that the wages of sin is death? I wonder how many really believe in their heart that the wage of sin is a life that is destroyed. For the child of God. No, he's not going to go to hell. Goodness gracious, you're saved forever. When you get saved, you're born again. Not born again, 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 and again. You're born again. You're in God's family. You're one of his children. He's your father, and you are his son or his daughter. Hear me now. You can't lose that. But sin can destroy you. One chunk of your life at a time. So, when the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, that's exactly what it means. And so we go to Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That sounds a lot like John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He's talking about here that love is proven by obedience. Very interesting. And then Psalm 128. And it's speaking of children here. Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not, I just gave you the wrong reference. I meant to give you Psalm 127 and verse 5. That's what I meant to give you. And speaking of children, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now I'll take you to Psalm 128 verses 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. The word blessed in the Bible and the word happier, they mean the same thing. All the good things that God can pour into your life. It's very interesting. And then let me give you one more reference on the word blessed. Psalm 146 and verse 5. And again, I've only given you a small portion of the many verses that have the word blessed in them, Old Testament and New. Psalm 146 and verse 5, happy is the man, or happy is he, that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That word happy and blessed, like I said, they're interchangeable in your Bibles. And so it just means all the good that God can pour on you. It's just a wonderful phrase that God has placed in the Bible. That's the kind of life that I want, is a blessed life. And as I said in my sermon title tonight, I want to be blessed, and so do you. So God gives us these things, blessed are, blessed is, and he's got an entire list of verses, and I only gave you a few of all things. But, and there are many more, and that will be a challenge for everybody in this room sometime in your own quiet time. Get your concordance out and look up the many verses or follow the cross-references in your Bible that show you where the next one is. Or if you've got even a Thompson chain, that the name of a Thompson chain Bible comes from the chain links that it puts in the Word of God that shows you where the next one is. It's really an amazing thing. And Bibles, many of them contain those kind of tools. But as you can see, God has blessings for those who let God be God. That everything that we read here was let God be God and learn to trust in him. And if there were ever a group with whom I would want to be included, it is the group whom God calls blessed. And I think I speak for all of you as well. That's the group I want to be in. However, isn't it awful that there's always a however in a sermon? However, there is the other group whom God refers to as cursed. And we read this in the book of Jeremiah in chapter 17, our opening verses there. It started off about being cursed if, and then it used the word blessed if. So we started off tonight with blessed. Now we're looking at the word cursed. Let me give you just a few references. And I promised you I was not going to keep you long tonight, and I promise I'm not. It's pretty much self-explanatory. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 15, the Bible says, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. I know what some people are thinking right now. That's in the Old Testament. So was everything I just read. You got to keep that in mind. Jeremiah 11 and verse 3. It says, "And say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant." Jeremiah 17:5 that we read at the beginning of the sermon tonight. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 15, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." There's some people that justify drinking saying, "I don't look at anybody naked when I drink." I don't know how shallow a person can be to actually believe that's part of Scripture. He's saying this can be the result of consuming alcohol. And by the way, it is the result of consuming alcohol. And then there's Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And most of us know these verses by heart because we are people who give unto the Lord's work. And it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee?" And then God answers, "In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." I heard somebody say one time, "I'd much rather be a man robber than a God robber, but I don't want to be a robber of either one." And I thought that was an interesting statement. Now, I want to bring this message to a close, but I don't want you to close your minds yet. As you can see, God has cursings for those who rebel against him. End of report. One might say that all of those cursings are in the Old Testament, and we are a New Testament Baptist church. Well, that's true. Yes, we are. But you got to remember all the blessings are in the Old Testament too that we read. And so sometimes we divide up Old Testament and New depending on how we feel about a particular passage. The blessings are there. In the New Testament, you got blessings. And I did a research on this and I didn't pull the verses into this message tonight because I didn't want to keep you for the rest of the evening. But the word cursed is also in the New Testament. It's not just in the Old Testament. It's also in the New Testament. And so you really can't divide that. Now, you realize there's a context for each one of these verses, but the principle is there. And it may apply originally to the nation of Israel, and it may apply originally to the unsaved heathen mentioned in the Old Testament, the God deniers. But the principle that is there says about our relationship with God and how we live our lives. If there were ever a group with whom I would not want to be included, it would be the group with whom God says they're cursed. That's just it. So the question I have for all of us tonight, am I pointing fingers? No, not at all. But let me ask you a question. In which group are you? You got to let me ask it this way. Toward which group do you lean? Because we all have a lean in our life. A bent, if you want to use the modern-day psychological term, a way that we are bent, a way that we are pointing our lives and our living. We have a direction in which we're going. You've got to determine to get into the blessed group and steer clear of the group whom God says is cursed. And that's my challenge for us tonight. I don't want to be part of that group that's cursed, but I do want to be part of that group that is blessed. And for the year 2026, that's a good determination to make. Which group are we going to be in? Well, I want to be in the blessed group. And maybe that would be a good assignment for all of you at one time or another to get that concordance out and go through and look up the word blessed in the Bible and just find out where they all are. I'm not saying underline them all. I'm not saying necessarily write them out with a pencil. But what I am saying is you might want to write a reference down and all the rest of it. I remember doing a Bible study one time a number of years ago, and I found over 200 references to the very subject that I was studying. I decided not to read all of them in the Bible study that I was doing, but just enough to get the point across. I want to be blessed, and so do you. And let's determine that that's going to be our 2026.